since I started for the kingdom, since my life even grows, since I give my life to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
God bless us all this evening. All those that come out. I'd like to take a reading from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Well, maybe we'll just stand our feet, we'll read this verse, and then we'll open one word of prayer. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads and just as we pray once more. My Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can meet here in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, first and foremost, we ask that you sanctify this building, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, that you're in the midst. Lord, we are meeting here in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, tonight. And as this little song says, the longer that we serve you, the sweeter you grow. The longer that we know you, Lord Jesus Christ, you become sweeter to us every day. And our love for you grows stronger. And your love for us will never diminish, Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, we're putting our faith in you tonight. I'm asking you myself, Lord, that you'll help me to bring your word across to your people. And that it'll be a blessing. And Lord, your word is a blessing. Lord, help me just to bring something that they encourage your people. And that you would go out of here more encouraged than what they were before they come in. Lord Jesus Christ, have thy way, we pray. May your Holy Ghost have freedom here this evening. And may everything be done for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we remember those once more, Lord, that's been prayed for, Lord Jesus Christ. My mother, this man McClory, this man Dunlop. And also I pray, Lord, for Gary Anderson, Lord, to her today. Lord, Take that clot from off us, long, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it in your name. Lord, you're still the healer, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you never change, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask all these things now. Pray that you keep your hand upon everyone here, everyone that's in holidays, our pastor, especially, and his family. Keep your hand upon them, and when they're coming home, bring them home safely. We're sending through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. 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 You have your seats. I don't think I'll be too long tonight, but just want to share something. And I'd already sort of mentioned last week that John and Gary had mentioned this. When I was away on holidays, and we were away there over to England, we had a great time, and the weather was fantastic. And the first night Gary texts me and he says, if you're anywhere near that RAF base, Cosford, it'd be worth going to. I believe they're planning going themselves. And I was like, I don't know where we'd have time or not, but the way we had it booked, the first day we'd done Chester Zoo, and the next day we were going down to the Centre Park at Woburn Forest, and Alva had booked a canoe for us at 2:30. And I was like, if we have time, we'll go. And then when we were up for breakfast that morning, we're like, you know what? We have a couple of hours here. We could probably do it. And I looked it up. It was only 12 miles away from where we're staying. And I was like, it's only 12 miles. Sure, might as well. We'll go. We went, and you know, it was really great. It was, and you will really enjoy it, lads. And hopefully the girls will too. Well, it was really good. But, you know, it was good seeing all around there and all that. But when you go in, it's like an RAF museum. It starts off from World War One, from the planes, just like a biplane with a wing top and bottom and made out of canvas. And it goes through, and the Spitfires there, and the Messerschmitt. And then there's all them, lots of bombers and all that comes right up Cold War and right up to more modern day stuff. But when we were going around there, because we were only there for 2 hours, we didn't really have time to be reading everything. But there was one sign on it that I read, and it really stuck with me. And it was during the Cold War, where it had put a quote up, a quote, where President John F. Kennedy and President Abbott of the United States of America, for anybody that doesn't know, at the same time, Khrushchev was president of Russia, the USSR. That was the two major superpowers at the time, and they're still the two major superpowers with the nuclear weapons. But in that quote, Kennedy was boasting that America had enough nuclear weapons that they could annihilate Russia two times over. And somebody put it to Khrushchev that America could put it to them, could annihilate them two times over. And his reply was, well, Russia might only have enough to annihilate America the once, but once will be enough. You know, once will be enough. And I was thinking, Jesus offered himself once, and it was enough. It never needs to be offered again. It only ever had to make that sacrifice once. And that word once, it stuck with me, and I thought, you know, there's the starts of a sermon. And then it just, the other evening there, I was on my phone. Somebody had shared something. But some girl over in England, and she, I don't know where she's a scientist or what she is, but she seems a fairly intelligent girl, but she does wee Instagram clips. But she was just telling in this wee Instagram clip the story of an Australian man that got the nickname of the man with the golden arm. You hear that, you think it's something maybe out of James Bond, the man with the golden arm. But it was really interesting because I wrote down the details of it. And you can look this man up. And he was an Australian named James Harrison. And he died this year. He died on the 17th of February this year. And he was 88 years of age when he died. But he had, I believe he had an accident or something happened to him when he was 18 years of age. And he had to get a massive blood transfusion. And from that time he got that blood transfusion, they found out that he had a thing in his blood. It was an anti-day. And if anybody, a factor, without going into too much detail, because and I wouldn't do it justice, because you need to know what you're talking about. But we know that you have blood groups, you have A positive and B group and O group and all that. And you have to, I think O group, if you want a blood transfusion in O group, anybody could get it, A and B and so far, so forth. But there's an R factor, and they talk about the rhesus. Rhesus positive and rhesus negative, and our sister Ruth would probably know all about this in babies. But if a mother carries that rhesus negative factor, and that baby in the womb is rhesus positive, the blood in the mother will do everything it can, themselves will start to fight against that child. And that child has a very high chance of dying in the womb. But this man, for some reason, his blood had an anti-D factor. And it counteracted this. And from he was 18 till he was 81 years of age, he gave blood, or the plasma part of the blood, I believe, every 2 weeks to 3 weeks of his life. Can you imagine every 2 to 3 weeks of your life going to give blood? No man done that. And they believe, they estimate, the 2.4 million babies' lives have been saved in Australia from that one man. And I was thinking, well, what does that tell you? What does it say in Leviticus? It says in Leviticus 17 and 11, and here's an example of it. It says in Leviticus 17, verse 11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's where the life is in. It's in the blood. We know that. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And I have wrote down here somewhere, an atonement. Atonement is the action of making amends for a wrong or an injury. Jesus' blood made amends for me and you. You know, when he shed his blood, he made amends. We were unworthy. By the sin of one man, the Bible says, through the actions of what happened in the Garden of Eden, all men and all women were born in sin and shaped in iniquity from that point on. But here it says the blood, the shedding of the blood, makes an atonement for the soul. And that was in the Old Testament. So we heard this morning our brother John was preaching. And you know, what did in John chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 29, that John the Baptist said? He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we know that Christ suffered and he died. And he went to that cross at Calvary for me and for you. And he paid the ultimate price. And his blood makes an atonement for us tonight. It makes the amends. It has made the amends for each and every one of us. And we read on over then in Hebrews chapter 9, and we're still in the same chapter, but in verse 25 and 26, just get the right verse. It says, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place, every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, so here's again once, in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away a sin by the sacrifice of himself. So what are we reading here? It says, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. The high priest every year in the Old Testament, you know, some people think it's hard to live as a Christian life now, and so much temptation and so forth. But you imagine if you try to live a perfect life during that Old Testament time. You imagine you have a few cattle, and your prized cow has this lovely bullock. And he's the best bullock that you've ever seen and you've ever had, and he looks great. And you look at him, you'd say, boy, that'll be a champion bull. But you know what? The Lord, he wanted the best. Mm-hmm. It was God's, it wasn't yours. He said, I want the best, I don't want the lame. Mm-hmm. He says, I don't want the runt of the litter, I want the best. Mm-hmm. If you kept birds, and you hadn't that much money, and you had a couple of wee turtle doves, God says, bring them, sacrifice them. You know, and the high priest had to go every year, and first and foremost, he had to make an atonement for himself every year. Before he could go into that holiest of holiest, he had to make a sacrifice for himself and for his family. And then he had to make a sacrifice for the people. And now you imagine the people that were coming, and the offerings, and the blood that had to be shed. When our brother Brian Freeborn one time preached here, and he said about Solomon when he dedicated the temple, and he worked out the liters or the pints of blood that Solomon offered that day, from all them animals, thousands of animals. And it was something like, was it half a dozen or a dozen?
25.
Was it 25 tankers? Fuel tanker, what you can imagine a fuel tanker behind that of a lorry. Not so much blood was shed that one day. But you know what? He said the very next day, had to be, if you wanted to bring a sacrifice, you had to sacrifice all over again. But here, Jesus once. He made the sacrifice once.
Amen.
And it says, we'll just read that 25 again, that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. This is what people forget. Jesus suffered for us. You know, it wasn't just, Jesus gave himself for us and we can be Christians, all we have to accept him. You have to realize what Jesus done for us. Yeah. Jesus suffered and sacrificed himself for it. You know, what does suffered? Suffered, if you look at, you know, I was reading these scriptures and I found myself looking up a lot of these words. Words that I just take for granted. And this, suffered means to be subjected to something bad, unpleasant. Something that will hurt you and make you ache. We heard Tommy has preached before, is it on the five wounds of Christ? And before he even got to that cross, we're at that whipping post. And that testimony was on our website, I believe it's still there, of James White. And how James White was a man here years ago, and I believe Tommy, or Pastor Tommy mentioned it again, I was listening to them there in Gisborne at Brother Howard's church. And he just briefly mentioned it. How James White, that group, they mustn't have believed that healing was in the atonement. You know, they believed that salvation was in the atonement, but sometimes I wonder how people can separate what Jesus done, how they can say, well, it's like people saying, well, that's not for today, or this is for today, but how do they know what's not for today? You know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where do you start? Where do you get and start to draw the line and say, well, should we do this? Should we do that? Or when the will of God, if we do this or that? No. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here's James White. Excuse me. And he believed that healing wasn't in the atonement. And one night he has this dream. And in the dream, he's there and not judgment at all. And you know, if you can picture it in your mind, there's Jesus, and they brought him into that, the judgment hall. And the Jews are so righteous, they can't come into it because they'd be defiled if they come in there. That was for the Gentiles and for Pilate's men. And that, them soldiers, you imagine, them big strong soldiers, they were the best army in the world at that time. They had trained, you know what, they were experts in death. They knew how to kill you, they could kill you just like that. You know, they were experts in that field. That's what their whole life was trained for. And them guys were made up from lots of nations. The way Rome worked, they conquered. They took men out of them nations and they brought them back and they trained them. And they became citizens of Rome and they were Roman soldiers. And there's James White and he sees this man. And they start to whip him. These big men start to whip him. And they whip him and they whip him. And he says in the flesh, his hair is cut where the whip hits him. And the flesh falls from his shoulders down over his buttocks. And then they take the whip unless maybe full of blood and flesh, then put it in a bucket of water to cleanse it. And they take another one out and they start to whip him. And this horrible scene's going on. And then this man turns around and he looks at James White and he says to him, "Is this not enough for your healing?" You imagine if you had an experience like that where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Is this not enough?" Jesus suffered. It says here he suffered. People take it for granted. Oh, Jesus, they think, oh, lovey-dovey, Jesus. Who on this earth could do that? Everybody has celebrities and heroes and all the strong men, what they can lift nowadays. And, you know, like, I follow, like, Bran Shaw, one of my favourite strong men. He's such a nice guy. I believe that man's a Christian man. I'm not sure, but I believe he's a born-again Christian. And I know that right in the time that the elections were going on, he was one of the few celebrities that came out openly and told them not to be voting for that woman because she was for the murder of the unborn child. He said, if you're American, you vote for life, and you have to vote for Trump. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what Trump has done, but that's one thing, he's against the murder of the unborn child. Another woman, he come out, and we all might have people that say, well, you know, there's some gay. Oh, we have these celebrities and they've done different feats. And there's a guy the other day, he died doing a skydive. That man set a world record for skydiving from orbit. Baumgartner, I think his name was. But he died, he suffered a heart attack, he died. You have all these heroes. But which of them men could you take to the whipping post? And you could whip them and whip them until they're an inch of their death. Which of them would stick at it for you, to buy you, for your healing? Would any of them be able to cope? But here's Jesus, a man that says there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. But he went to that whipping post for you and for me. He done it for me, he suffered. He suffered for you and he suffered for me. And he done that, why? Because he had set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And wasn't that something? When he had got it, he set his face and he was going up to Jerusalem and he knew he was going up to die. The Lord, I believe the Lord really encouraged him, you know, really. In the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed and the great sweat drops of blood run down his... You imagine the agony, even in the emperors. But he pressed on. And through it all, he pressed on. And you know, he won a great victory. But he says... But he suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He sacrificed. It was a bloody sacrifice. There can't be a sacrifice without blood. And he was sacrificed on the cross. Where they nailed him to the cross, and he went through a horrible death. I said it before, it was one of the most inhumane deaths of the time. Where you were nailed to the cross, and the agony of that, and then when they put you up, and you couldn't breathe, you were suffocating, and you have to lift up in your joints to breathe, and then you can only hold, the strength leaves you, and you fall, and then you start to suffocate, and within an hour or so many minutes, your shoulders dislocate when you're on that cross from holding yourself. The body can't stick it, and this is what Jesus went through, and then. In all of that, when he's on that cross, what does he say? He says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. Forgive them." Here's us. We'll hardly forgive our brother. If he'd done something on you, you would hold it against him. You're like, I'm not saying anything about my brother. I don't know if he's done any badness or not, but I haven't found out yet. But I'd like to think if he did, I would forgive him. But here's Jesus, and he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Amen. What religion, other religion in the world, where they could say, "Forgive them"? A lot of these religions, especially this, like Muslim and so forth, their whole ethos is to go in and take over and compel you to conform to their religion. And we've seen in these countries where they have the majority, how in they rule, how if you stole something, what do? They take the hand off you. If a woman, they always seem to make sure they kill plenty of women, stone them to death. I believe there was, I heard my mum talking about a minister one time went somewhere. When he arrived, there was a woman in the square getting stoned to death. And he thought he'd go over to stop it. And the guides with him said, on no account, you do not go anywhere near that because you'd end up in prison yourself. And they were openly stoning a woman to death in a square of a village. But what did Jesus do when they come before him to stone the woman to death? He bowed his head, he knelt down, and he wrote in the ground, and he said, him without sin cast the first stone. And sometimes I wonder, you know, wonder what he wrote in the ground. Did he start to write the Ten Commandments on the ground? I wonder, did he maybe start to write, thou not covet thy neighbour's wife? Maybe he thought, I shall not steal. Maybe some of them guys. And say, what happened? It says from the oldest to the youngest, every one of them left. Because, you know, once they started to look in their own life, and maybe question in their own life, maybe it come to their memory, little dirty deeds that they'd done, dirty moves, maybe in business, dirty moves, maybe around things where they'd con people. But every one of them, from the oldest to the youngest, left. But here, Jesus isn't like that. He's a forgiving God. And it says in verse 28 then, it says, once again, so Christ was once offered. I know here it says once. You read it so many times in Hebrews where it's once. It says, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him. See, here's the key. It's like John was preaching this morning. It's unto him, them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The problem today is there's not too many looking for him. It's something, we've had two big days, the 12th and the 13th of July. And you know, it was two great days out. But really, what are they really supposed to be? They're supposed to be a celebration of the Protestant faith and heritage. But there's very, very few men now in them organisations that you could say is a born-again Christian. Amen. And really, we see these banners. There's one there with Solomon on it. In all his glory. It says Solomon in all his glory. And we see all these things. But really, if you start to look at it, you could start to come up with a whole list of things. Why is it that it's a great day out for a drink? Why is it a great day out for racking and getting on about, it's like a shindig, as Yule said this morning, a bit of a shindig. You know, that's not condemning everybody. It's not all like that. Forgive me if you think I'm saying that, but the majority of people just see it as a day out now. They don't see it as a religious organization. But there is still Christian men in it. And we should be very thankful that we have this hall. And it's like John said this morning, there was a thing in it tomorrow night. And we're not in control of that, but I believe that the Lord can sanctify this place. Now, it'll definitely be better if you've got our own hall. But in the meantime, you know, I was just thinking, well, there's Samson was in the middle of a really big shindig. And they were all praising and making fun. And the victory they had got over Samson. Oh, they had got some victory over him. And they put his eyes out. And a child had to lead him. And there was this big shindig. There was thousands and thousands in that. But you know what Samson done? He got the boy to lead him to the two main pillars. And he bowed his head. And he prayed. He said, Lord, once more, Lord. And what happened? God, by that Holy Spirit, I believe, filled him and gave him that strength and that power in the middle of that. What was going on, all that sin, in the middle of it. There the Holy Spirit moved. And he just stretched out his arms and that place came tumbling down. And it said, He slew more in his death than he did in his whole life. So our prayer should be that we need a hall of our own, but at the same time, our prayer before we come here is, Lord, sanctify this place, that you will come and be one of our number. And as we know that God, where two or three is gathered in his name, he'll be there in the midst. But in Hebrews chapter 13 and 20, it says, I just turned it. It says, now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. So this is the resurrected Jesus. He's not dead. He's alive. God brought him from the dead. The great shepherd of the sheep. John had said, behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. He was a lamb. But he's also the shepherd. You know, you might say, well, how can he be the lamb and the shepherd? Well, he is. And he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's who he is. And he says, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I looked up what's a covenant really mean? And sometimes Tommy says it's an English, old English word for testament, and it is that as well. But in the Oxford Dictionary, if you look up covenant, it says an agreement. Where you agree by lease, deed, or legal contract. And here's something, if you can get this revelation. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of, and if you replace everlasting covenant with, the everlasting legal contract. What is this legal contract? It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah. That's the legal contract. God is, he's made a covenant. And what is that covenant? It's that for the whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a legal contract with me and with you and with God. You imagine that the standing that we're in tonight. You have to realize what God has done for us. You know, you're such a privileged people.
Yes.
You have to realize the mercy of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. And in Hebrews, I want to go back to Hebrews 10. And this is once more mentions about the priests. Hebrews 10 and 11 to 14. Hebrews 10, 11 to 14. And it says, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. So you know what? When Jesus was on that cross, them men were still offering sacrifices for sins. And when he died and they put him in the tomb, they were still offering sacrifice for sins. And when he raised, they were still offering sacrifice for sins. And they're still doing it. But what did God do? He ripped the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom.
Amen.
As if to say, if you had a piece of paper here and it was an agreement between me and you, and I done that there in front of you and just ripped it up, that's a sign of me saying, that's over. That's done away with. But that's what God done. He's got the veil of the temple and he just ripped it apart. In our words, he's saying, right, that's over. That's done. Here's the new contract, this new covenant. The old one's done away, but they continually do it. And it says, but it can never take away sins. See, it doesn't, it only covered them. The same every year, they had to continually come. But it says in verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, here's the one. One sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. See, he didn't have to do it again. Once he'd done it, that was enough. The price was paid. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. In verse 14, for by one offering, so we had one sacrifice, and now for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And I looked up the word perfected. And I, you know, that's what I like to do when if I'm doing a bit of a study in the Bible. Words that I take for granted every day, words that you take for granted, but really you should start to look up some of these words. We just use words. You don't really get the right meaning, but see, when you start to look up what they really mean. It says we're perfected forever. Perfected means to make completely free from fault or defects. This is the Oxford Dictionary. You are completely free from any faults or defects. It speaks of completion and finished work. And, you know, it says the offering for sin. And I wrote down here, this is an antidote. An antidote, what is an antidote? An antidote is something that counteracts. So if you have a disease, say you got bit by a poisonous snake, and they give you the antidote, it counteracts. It starts to counteract that poison. And these verses here, I wrote down, these are the antidote. What's it the antidote to? It's the antidote to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So there was sin. But here's the antidote. The shedding of the blood, the one offering and the one sacrifice is this antidote. It takes care of this. The legal contract, that through that covenant, that blood, that you're cleansed, that you're no longer the same. You're a new creation. It says perfected. It talks about a finish. Well, it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. So it talks about the perfecting of this, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So Jesus is perfecting the saints. What is his finished work? His finished work is that he's going to perfect the saints. He's going to perfect me and you. And he's going to perfect the church. There's a church where Brother John preached this morning, where we should expect that people come in and get healed, be prayed for and be healed, where God would move in tongues and prophecies. You know, that's the prayer. I believe that's, if we're in a spot where them things are happening, you know, wouldn't that be something perfect? But it says then in Hebrews 10, chapter 17 and 18, just across there, it says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. So remission means cancellation of a debt or a penalty. There was the death penalty, basically, in that Romans 5 was a death penalty because of sin, because of what happened in Eden. But here's the cancellation, remission. It was the cancellation of a penalty. And it says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. So what now where remission of these is, so in verse 12, 13 and 14, it talks about the offering, where it's made. So once it's made once, there's no more remission, there's no more offering for sin. It's already been done. It's been done once, it doesn't need done again. You know, it says it finished work in John 4 and 34. I'm nearly finished. John 4 and 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Well, what was his work? I was thinking, what was his work? His work was that he would call out a people that would know him as their Lord and Savior. His work was where instead of just a Gentile, a Jewish nation that would be saved, that he would have a bride from every nation on the earth, a Gentile bride. Where he had said about Abraham, where he'd given that promise, where he'd be the father of many nations. And how would he be it? By faith, through faith. Where me and you, through faith, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're children of Abraham. You know, that's the finished work, I believe. Just one more verse I want to read, and then Brother Gary can come. And it's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. 1 Timothy 2, 5 to 6. It says, for there is one God. So there's all these other ones are ruled out straight away. There's one God. And one mediator between God and man. So it doesn't matter why this guy down the street here goes in through the week on a Friday night or a Saturday night and says, come to me and tell me all your faults and all your sins, and I'll give you a penance to do, or so many Our Fathers or Our Ladies, and you're covered. No, there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. So it wasn't just for a select few, it was for all. So everybody has the opportunity to avail of it. It says, to be testified in due time. And I hope that this is testified in due time. This is a testimony tonight too. What God has done. You know, there mightn't be a whole lot of it here tonight. But if anybody hears this on the web page or whatever, Jesus, he done it for you and he done it for me. And there's no limit to what Jesus, the blood of Jesus, how many people he can save. It's not that he saved so many million and that's it, it's run out. No, it's the same. There's more than enough there. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. It's for the whosoever. It's for the all. And there, our prayer tonight should be for our loved ones and for our family, that they will come to know the knowledge of his saving grace. And remember, it might be a simple sermon, but it's simple, but at the same time, if you remember that word once, it blows that whole Catholic religion out of the water. Once. They done it once. So how can you go down and you fellowship with that, where some man says no, you have to go through him as a mediator, where Jesus says no, he done it once. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And you know, I believe that's a problem. People try to complicate the word of God. They try to come up with some mystery and something, and they've lost the simplicity of the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, when you think of the reformers, you think you have intelligent men now. Them men were intelligent. And some people maybe think, oh, education a waste of time. But to a certain extent, it's what you're being educated in. If you've been educated in some nonsense, evolution or something, that's a different story. But them men were educated men, really educated. They knew Latin, they knew Hebrew, they knew Greek. You imagine knowing two or three languages of them, silent languages. They knew it. They translated the Bible into English. They paid with it with their lives. Why? For me and you. That's why they've done it. That's the sort of man that done them things. And you know, it wasn't just by chance. They were led of God to do it. They were brave, brave men. And that was for us. So it was tonight. Just let's pray once more before Barry comes. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you see him yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, our prayer is that you save our loved ones tonight. Save our family, save our friends, and deliver them from evil that would come. Lord, help us, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that you'd take us in your bride when you come, that we all be ready, watching and waiting. Lord, just help us in the remainder of this service, Lord of ours, to sing, to worship you, to praise your mighty name. For you are worthy of it, Lord. You're worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. For it's in and through your mighty name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. 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 Or Derek.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, just was.
listening on the radio myself there, just coming up to the 12th, or just after the 12th, actually, it was people were talking about that, carry on about the GAA was looking to come in the Cumber, and they were screaming that they were very bigoted people and that. But you know, there was one man came on, he said it really like a political organisation. It wasn't a cultural organisation, but the man came on and said about how bitter the Protestants were. He said some of them not go to a Catholic wedding or a funeral. And one boy, he was on, Sammy Morrison from the TUV, and well done for him. He said he couldn't participate in the Mass, for it was against his religious beliefs, for he believed that Christ suffered once and for all. And you know, he said the William Crawley, he was on up, there's Protestants go in and they sit in the Mass, you know, they don't hold the same view. But you know, they couldn't really be a Protestant and participate in the Mass.
Yeah,
you couldn't be. What would you be protesting? Well, if you're gonna offer Christ again, what would you protest? No, they're away with the fairies if they think that. But a Protestant, a real Protestant, would protest that doctrine. That's a false doctrine, it's a popish, hellish doctrine. Praise God that Jesus Christ was enough. Praise God, we don't need nothing else, and he doesn't need the help of any man. You know, I love that hymn that says of Jesus, he suffered and he died alone. And you know it's true, because there was no priest there to help him along, and he doesn't need a priest today to help him along either. And I hope, praise God, Jesus done it all. Praise God, and paid it all for me. Let us sing that hymn, no other hope, no other plea, he took my place and died for me. Let's stand our feet while we sing it. And God bless Brother Mark this evening for bringing the word. Praise the Lord. A trembling soul. And no. just bar heads, but no hospital or try this evening of heal close up to our force.
Give you thanks tonight, Lord, to be served,
and merciful,
compassionate God. Yes, Lord. Yes. Lord, we give praise, Lord, to the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your words, Lord, heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will never pass away.
Amen.
Thank you, as we heard this morning, you said to the servants of John, Lord, tell them again what you see and hear, and then things can happen again. We praise
you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
There's a lot of restoration, not
thank
the
iron,
the death of the sinner, or the destruction of the sinner, but you've restored fully on the eternal life. We just come to repent and accept you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for the might and the preaching of your word today, morning, and this evening, dear Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the night and the singing and the young ones even praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you so much. You protect Israel tonight, Lord.
Yes.
Put your hand upon them and put your hand upon us, Lord, this incoming week.
Yes.
Ask for your blessing this incoming week, Lord.
Jesus' name.
Order our steps, Lord, and establish our goings.
Mm-hmm.
For those that need a healing hand, Lord, you'll touch them. We are merciful hand.
Yes,
ask us in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. As we leave, we'll sing that little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We'll be back again on Thursday. We're back to normal procedure. Back again on Thursday at 7:30. And I believe you'll not be here, Mark. You won't, but I'll be taking a Bible study then on Thursday evening. And I believe then on the Sunday, the pastor should be back home by then. Not sure if he'll be back home by Thursday. You know, Rev, well, what day he's home? He's not home on Thursday, sure he's not. It'll be, but he should be back for Sunday next week anyway, and he'll be sharing with us. He's back, he'll be back on Sunday. So he'll be here on Sunday, all been well. Praise God. Pray he gets a safe journey home. Praise God. And I was in on Brother Hard's Mark put the link up on the church WhatsApp, so he would. Mentioned that it was a special time. It's the first time Sharon had been away with them also. So just continue to pray that the Lord will bless them both and bring them home safely. Amen. Amen. Let's be leaving us in this little course. The Lord bless you. And have a blessed week. And the Lord. Amen. Thy